Nice one.
It doesn't shout anything. It's got a very good microphone.
Oh, good. It's good, these ones, aren't they?
Yeah, so I use this for my podcasts and interviewing poets. Okay, so I've got an information sheet about the project, which you probably read, or you may have read. So I need you to sign this. And the boxes, on the main notice, you have to initial the boxes, not just tick them.
Okay. I am very happy to give my full informed consent.
Thank you. I don't know if I said that, but yeah, so basically, when I'm transcribing, I redact anything that's specific to, people or
organisations. Excellent, so
you don't have to worry about that. I mean, you can be as careful if you like. Be careful if you want to be, but you don't have to be, because, as I say, the purpose is really to try and get the range of the experiences of different sort of academic leads, just to see whether there's common ground or whether everybody or whether there's it's individual issues. Okay. And it'll probably take about 40 minutes or so.
Perfect,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So first question, what was the aim of your project that you were the lead academic on?
Right.
That you want to talk about. So you're trying to think about a particular project, I suppose, the most recent ones might make sense. Yeah, but in terms of that project, I want to take you through the project journey.
Actually, it's a really nice time to do that because we've just literally just finished it. So we've really been thinking about our lessons learned, and the project I'd like to talk about is an Erasmus KA2 project looking at best practice across Europe in doctoral supervision of modern doctorates.
So in terms of its, when you were putting the project proposal in, what was the change that you were seeking to make that would justify you doing the work?
Right, well, it evolved basically out of a belief that in the university I was in, that we had a very good handle on doctoral supervision, and there was a few of us in the team who actually believed that it was we had it sussed. Mm-hmm. Except I actually kept looking at it thinking I'm not entirely sure we do, because I could see lots of different types of doctoral supervision going on depending on the original discipline of the supervisor, and they each believed they had the perfect one. Classic academic piece. But it was really important that we actually suss this, because there wasn't much in the literature about what I call the modern doctorates, which are everything from DBAs through to industrial PhDs and DProfs. These modern evolutions of that, where the supervision actually occurs within the workplace as well as in academia. So you're not sending somebody off to work in the library and see them once a month after they've thought great thoughts. You're actually supervising somebody who's going back and always doing it in real time in their workplace. Yeah. Very different set of skills and knowledges that actually need to be there, but it wasn't codified. So we set out to actually codify that.
So it's a field of HE practice that you were hoping to, analyse and identify sort of what, how things could be done or should be done.
Yes, because particularly there was also a policy push to formalising doctoral supervision. So instead of having doctoral supervisor just meeting and having those wonderful talks, now it's much more formalised into monthly meetings, which have to be fully written up, etc., etc. And so when you're looking at that, you're saying, well, okay, you're putting a lot of measures in, but what are you measuring? Is there really an evidence base for that? Does it actually make sense to measure that? Is frequency appropriate once a month, or is it just useful? All of those questions surround this formalisation, there's policy making. So they're really making it in a vacuum. So the idea was very much to put some substance behind it and also have, as an output, given that I'm always a pracademic and a practitioner academic, something that somebody could use, that the supervisor could pick up and say, I'm not sure what's happening here. I'll pick up, you know, a handy handbook that would allow them to do something sort of and see what, the way to go and be essentially the trust. So you were looking for good policy information, resources that were useful to the individual supervisors, but also that could be used as training packages within universities. So supervisory training became a little bit more real and a bit more evidence-based. And those were the outputs that we were looking at, a set of very straightforward, useful outputs that anybody could pick up and actually work in and know they had an evidence base.
Go on,
right.
Go on.
Is it there?
Go on, yeah, sorry.
Hello, Anne.